Got it, Ken. I'll start reading. Will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on the sick, and they will recover. What Jesus was saying is really what should be active outside the church. Why? Because believers don't just assemble in the church. The believers get trained up in the church to go out there. So if we're taking the kingdom of God and the message to only here, we need to get on our knees, repent, because that's not what Jesus intended for us. Many a believer, including myself at times, is unhappy about the conditions of this country, the moral and political and economic direction that our leaders are looking to find solutions to the problems that they create can't be done through the wisdom of man. Why? Because they're fallen in nature. God has the answers for everything that pertains to us. We just need to seek him out for that. And sometimes that takes time. Sometimes it's really believing God. Sometimes it's prayer and fasting. Sometimes it's incorporating others in this sphere to support what God is doing, because we're concerned for the kingdom and how each and every believer conducts themselves. Just because you say that you're a Christian doesn't make you a Christian. What makes you a Christian? I'm going to call on you. What makes you a Christian? Okay. But does that make you a Christian? Ooh, now we're getting deeper now. Follow directions. Wow. You're absolutely right, both of you. In part. What makes us a believer in Jesus Christ is committing our lives to the kingdom and to the King. That commitment is not to be taken lightly. We are to follow directions. We are to do the things that God has said for us to do. And by that, we influence the world all around us. Like I said, I don't make many friends when I start talking kingdom, because that separates those who really want to be kingdom people, saints, from the ain'ts. Okay? We live in a kingdom that Isaiah said to us, and it's real important that we understand. Isaiah 9:7 says, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on forever. The zeal of the Lord God Almighty will accomplish this. His government. Most people don't know how to act in his government. Most people don't understand what it is required of them to be kingdom people. We want to be so liked by the world that we are compromising the very essence of who we are. Did Jesus conform to the world? No. Remember the message of the Kuru. The Kuru is an ambassador who announces the intentions of a king who has conquered its territory. And what is expected of those citizens to conform to his kingdom? Today we're looking at really the opposition of believers who name the name of Christ but do not conform to his wishes. We are his representatives. We are his ambassadors. Like it or not, that's what we signed up for. That's what you signed up for. You thought, oh, all I did was sign up for salvation. God saved me. Well, I have two questions. Saved you from what? And saved you for what? You see, for the first time in your life, he's given you purpose. A lot of people run around saying, why am I on this planet? Why am I here? What is my duty or what am I supposed to do? Whatever God tells you to do. Conforming to his government. Yielding yourself under his authority. He's the king. And we forget that. We forget that Jesus is not coming back as the Lamb of God. He's already died once. He's not going to die again. He is the king. And he is coming back as a king who restores everything back to order. That includes you and me. And what he is doing right now, right before our eyes, is allowing us to see the chaos in the world that we're allowing to happen. Who was the last person that you talked to about the kingdom of heaven? You see, it's not about the good news. It's the kingdom of heaven. You now belong to a realm higher than this realm. Who was the last person? Who was the last person you led to accept Jesus Christ? That's what a representative does, an ambassador does. We confront erroneous thought patterns and confront it with the truth of Jesus Christ. I know it's hard. I know it's hard initially. But he's not having a bunch of children that he's coming back for. He's coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle. When I married my wife, I didn't marry her at 10 years old. I married her as a woman. And that's what Jesus expects each and every one of us to grow up. We have been talking over the last year about dominion, different aspects of dominion and what it means to have dominion. But you have no dominion unless you live according to Jesus Christ's demands, which requires surrender. Surrender of our old thinking to take on new thinking. Just look at Romans 1 and 2, and that should be self-explanatory. 12, 1 and 2, excuse me. But I'm going to give you a different term today about being an ambassador for Jesus Christ. And this is also part of the nomenclature of who we are. We are radical remnant believers. God's only going to take out a small portion. He's not going to take out everybody. Because not everybody who names the name of Christ is saved. My challenge to you today is to look at your relationship with Jesus Christ. See if you're conforming to His and His wishes, or you're doing your own thing. Doesn't matter if you're the pastor's kid. I have my daughter here. Doesn't matter. I have my son-in-law here. You don't get saved off of my coattails. You get saved and maintain your salvation through a living, loving relationship with Jesus Christ. Doing what He says, walking the way He expects us to walk. Radicalizing through love. Hear me, I'm not preaching being radical, but radically loving people in a way that they see the Lord coming through you and through me. We have to have a passion that is burning so succinctly for our King that it is our reality. Our vision and mission statement is only 6 words, but it entails so much. Love God. Love Him supremely above all else, which is our rule number one. Rule number two is to love people as yourself. Unconditionally. Not judging them. Number three, using everything that is within us, put at His disposal to help people love life. And how we do that is really being formed as we speak now. Do you love yourself more than you love God? Do you love yourself so much that you're afraid to give yourself away? Jesus gave Himself and died for our sins. If you're operating from fear, that's not God. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity or fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and self-discipline." Many of you have not heard this before. This is the first time that you're hearing truth and its reality. You have God's Spirit dwelling in you. You are more than conquerors through Christ who died for you. There's nothing impeding you. Nothing. Well, it's my job. No, that's not impeding you. It's my kids. You know, I've got all these kids. No, it's not the kids. It's my relationship to my wife. Nah, she's not to blame. Adam syndrome does not work here. I'm chief proponent of that. I've used that. It's the woman you gave me, God. And He just chuckles at my stupidity. He does. Because after all, who did He create first? He created us, men. They only come along to help. And they're looking for direction. That doesn't mean we're to be couch potatoes. We're to give them direction. Or they have suggestions. We listen to those suggestions. But ultimately, we make the final decisions about everything. This may be old news to a lot of us here, but I can tell you that being radically in love with God, you can only radically be in love with His people and people who haven't heard. There's close to 8 billion people on this planet. Roughly, I'd say, 2.5 million are Christians. 2.5 million are Muslim. 1 million are Jewish, and the rest are whatever. We got a lot of work to do. You cannot reach someone if you do not have dominion over your life. See, dominion is more than occupying territory, because that territory that God wants to for you to conquer is in your heart. The human heart needs to be conquered. Jesus conquered the human heart, the human condition, and the human need by dying on the cross for us. Are you willing to have that much love to die for your spouse, your children, your worst enemy? You see, we're all created in His likeness. And the truth of it is that our worst enemy may, as they hear the good news of the kingdom, to be adopted into the king's house, may end up being your best friend, closest brother. Scripture says there's one that stands closer to you than a brother. Why did Jesus come? He didn't come to unite us. He came to divide us. He said it's against family. And then he goes out and he says, who is my family? What did he say? Everyone who obeys what he says to do is part of his family. Thank God for the cross, because we all mess up. Me, I'm chief amongst that. The older I get to walk with Jesus, the more I find out how corrupted this flesh is. And you guys love me in spite of that, and I return that love as much as I can. If you got your Bibles, turn to Genesis 1:28. I want to tell you the truth of why all this is going on. Why the world is in chaos. Why everyone is falling after their own thing. Doing their own thing. Professing to believe in Jesus Christ, but yet conduct themselves differently. Jesus said, we will know you by your fruit. What are you producing? Don't get angry with me, get angry with him. That's what he said. Genesis 1:28 says, then God blessed them and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. That is not a Catholic demand in which we produce or procreate more kids. Being fruitful is having the character of Jesus Christ. Multiplying is making more disciples of Jesus Christ. Fill the earth and subdue it. Subdue is a militaristic word that means to conquer it, to have control of it in God's name. You see, He's the king. And then something jumps out. It says, have dominion, rulership, over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over everything that moves on the earth. Jesus, God, is not talking about having dominion over this physical realm. He's talking about having dominion over this physical realm, denying the spiritual influences of demons and the devil. You have authority over them. And the minute you understand that you are a king, you have the authority from the king to exercise that authority, to wage war, to conquer in his name on behalf of the kingdom and to have dominion. Dominion speaks of various aspects, but it always talks about our lifestyle, our everyday lifestyle. It's the choices that you make, whether you're as young as Ian or as old as me. We have choices. I tend to be like Joshua. God says it, we can do it, let's go do it. God's with us. He hasn't given me a spirit of timidity. He's given me a spirit of love, of sound mind, and of power. The word power is dunamis, of which we get dynamite from. We can blast anything and everything away because the Holy Spirit not only dwells in us, but he comes upon us to accomplish his will. How can I say that? Because as remnant believers who are radical in love with God, we believe that the kingdom is ever expanding and is unstoppable. He uses Israel as an example to us of what that kingdom is supposed to look like. Unfortunately, they didn't mix love, the love of God. They rejected him. And Samuel wept because they wanted to be like everybody else. Do you want to be just like everybody else? Believe me, I've been there. I know. I've sold drugs. I've took drugs. I pushed drugs. I did all that stuff. I covered it up with being a good person. Quotation marks. But it did not fill the void in my heart. And then one day, we were coming back from my sister's house and we rolled the car. I rolled the car. And in that moment, I saw what was valuable to me. It was my wife and my kids. They were valuable to me. And God, in his mercy, spared their lives. And I cleaned up my act as the Holy Spirit instructed me to do. See, there's a false conception, and I was speaking about this morning. I was listening to someone saying to me that, you know, this individual that we were speaking of feels like they got to clean up their act before God will accept them. You're already accepted. You're already forgiven. You're part of his kingdom. He's adopted you. He loves you more than you could ever think. And that's the message we got to convey to them out there. Those who are still far away have not heard the good news of the kingdom. That God loves us so much that he wants us to repent, to turn away from wickedness and evilness and begin to walk in his ways, allowing his blood to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, to make us holy as he's holy. We believe the earth and the fullness belongs to the Lord and that he's entrusted us. He has not given us the burden of taking care of the earth. What he has done is set us free to become stewards. We don't own anything. He owns it all. And he's trying to get the world to understand that he is Lord, that he is the king. All we need to do is capitulate and agree to the terms of surrender. Why do you say, Pastor, it's the terms of surrender? Because we're rebellious. We don't want anybody to rule over us. And just like Israel did not want God to rule over them, let's admit it. We don't want anybody telling us how to live. Until you yield yourself to God, your life will continue to spindle down. When you submit, it stops. When you begin to walk in obedience, he begins to lift you up. That's the truth. The harder you work for something, the less you have. And God showed me years ago when I was working in a secular job, I would work 40 hours plus another 40 hours of overtime. And he said to me one day, he says, do you know the cost of being away from your family? And this is like about 7:30 at night and I'm working. I said, what are you talking about? I'm providing for my family. And he said to me, do you trust me enough to give up working all this overtime? And of course, yeah, I'm real spiritual. Yeah, I trust you. Next night, company offered me more overtime. What do you think I did? I'm open to any answers. Come on. I did not work the overtime. And many of you know the statement, my daughter was, what, sixth grade? Seventh grade, something like that. If I worked the overtime, I would not have been at an awards banquet of which my daughter is not the smartest kid or the fastest kid or whatever. I mean, she's gifted in different ways. But she received an award for being consistent, always trying. And I just thank God that if I had missed that opportunity to see something that to me has real value. And what I learned from there was, and some of our guys are at this place, they want to do more for the king. They're realizing that God is so good, they want to do more for the king. And just like he did with me, he's going to do with them. He's going to test them in their words. He's going to test you in your words. And as I said to this individual, I had said to this person, I said, as your words go forth, God's going to test you. And a lot of times what we do is say, oh, it's the devil doing this. We give more credence to the devil than what we should. Hebrews tells us that God loves us so much that if He does not discipline us, we're not His kids. God disciplines us. It's Him who brings about this stuff. And He tests our words. He tests to see if it's just words that are just falling off, or, as Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. He's going to test you. We as remnant believers believe that we are anointed vessels. You are anointed by God to preach the good news about the kingdom of God. This anointing is able to set you free from everything. How many of you have been in a store and the Holy Spirit is prompting you to say something to the person next to you, but you're like, I'm not going to talk to that person. Should. Because in those times, in obedience, as crazy as it may seem, because we don't know that person, and I can't tell you how many times it's happened to me and to others in here, just that little act of kindness, a word spoken to them, lifts them up and say, how did you know? How did you know what I was going through? God knows. And He wants you to know that He loves you so much that He asked me to talk to you. That's how God works. He doesn't work on these big things, although He does, you know, with Pastor Graham and stuff. He does use those. He uses anything and everything to bring about His will to accomplishing. And dominion has not been rescinded from us. He hasn't taken dominion from us. He expects us to take dominion. in Jesus' name. How do we take this good news to the culture that we're in? Acts 1:8 tells us. Jesus said, then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful. No, that's not what he said. Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and to all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the world. Power. You have this power. But a lot of times we allow the situations and circumstances of our life to drain it out of us. We need to sit before the Holy Spirit, ask him to fill us with his power, and then go do what he tells us to do. It's real easy. Maybe he's telling you to go to visit someone in the hospital. I hate hospitals, Pastor. Take it up with God. He's commanding you. You know, it's not a suggestion, a divine suggestion. It is a divine order. He wants you to go and speak to someone. I have some nasal things going on, and what I did was strange to a lot of people. I gave up my chair in the waiting office because it was packed out. That random act or spontaneous act of kindness speaks more to people than you realize. And though it did not stimulate a conversation, it set seed into a person's life. Holding a door open for somebody, getting into a car or going into a store or into a building, speaks volumes. Especially if that person is struggling with groceries or little kids or whatever. You know, that random act of kindness will pay dividends in your life. Because so you sow, you will reap this in kind. God is faithful to reward you. What you do openly, he will reward you secretly. Power. Dominion talks about power. And we can't have dominion unless it's with the Holy Spirit. You have to be in Christ to begin to have power for what? To take dominion over your own life. Jesus has died on a cross to give us power that sin and death have no place in us. That we can battle against disease. Was he sick? No. I've read the Bible numerous times. I've tried to find when Jesus was sick. Never. He wasn't hindered or encumbered by this physical realm because he was God. He had God the Father dwelling in him, and God the Son was performing everything that God the Father wanted him to do through the power of the Holy Spirit. That example is what he wants for all believers. He told us. I read the scripture. You don't have to be afraid. Do not have to be afraid. I've shared this story, and I'll share it again. I used to work for a local utility, or statewide utility, and I was working one night down in Salem in a really bad section of town. And I parked under this street light. The guy comes walking up to me and he says, You're at my corner. I said, excuse me? You're on my corner. I can't do business. Well, it clicked. You know, this is a pusher. I said, well, I'm walking or working across the street at this house. I'll be in 5 minutes and out. He says, no, that's not going to do. You're bad for my business. And he pulls out a gun and puts it to my head. What do you think I did? I watched the chamber go around for the next bolt to go into the chamber. Nothing happened. pulled the hammer back. He saw the chamber go around one more time. Nothing happened. I just figured, you know, the only scripture that was going through my head wasn't, well, that bullet's going to go through my skull. The scripture was, to be absent of the body is to be present with the Lord. I wasn't afraid. I figured this is time I check out of hotel six. Guy says, I can't believe this. This has never happened to me. I said, that's because I'm under divine protection of Jesus Christ. It's not my time to go. And he just booked. He just took off. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. What he has done for me, he will do for you. That is his promise. You don't have to worry about, you know, what people are going to think. I could care less what they thought, because I had a gun that I was watching the chamber being filled. This guy meant business, and I was intruding on his territory. We are to establish the kingdom's influence, not just here, but in every aspect of society. Whether it's school, whether it's our local governments, whether it's our businesses that we work in, whether it's at the gymnasium, women's group, coloring, the colors of Christ, whatever it is, where people are gathering, we are to influence them. And we should, as the Holy Spirit leads. Now, I'm not saying that we should be out there Bible-thumping people. Oh, you know, you're going to go to hell. Nah, that didn't work. And part of the gospel is telling people the truth, that if they refuse Jesus Christ, their alternative is not very pleasant. As remnants of the kingdom of God, we understand that God is trying to restore the very nature of Adam before he fell into us. Does not the scripture say, you are kings and priests, you are a holy nation? It does say that. That's who you are. Not only are you the bride of Jesus Christ, but you are small kings and small lords. He's the king, we're not. We get to rule in his stead. And if we prove ourselves faithful, guess what? He gives us more stuff. He doesn't take anything from us. He gives us more. It's okay. Adam was the king of this world under God, but he lost it by giving it away. The symbolism in the garden was that when he bitten that apple that Eve gave to him, his eyes was open. He saw what he had done. And it was in disobedience to what God had told him to do. Jesus Christ died and was perfect. He was tempted of sin, but he never sinned. He became sin on our behalf. He became the sacrifice of God, the Lamb of God, on our behalf to restore us to have dominion over our lives while we're here in this physical world, influencing others to believe. Do you believe us? Because this is true. I'm telling you, this is true. This is what God is doing. And he spends an awful lot of time in trying to get people to understand this. And the church still wants to do its own thing. Evil spirits are attacking the Bible, any truth. They are radically insane. They are focusing on the wrong things, and they're trying to get us to focus on the wrong things. I personally like to watch what's going on because I think the futility of man in thinking such great things is not going to come to pass because Jesus is not in them. The question is, does he live in you? Do you want to pull down these strongholds in your life? You see, each and every one of us has to pull down these strongholds to have dominion. Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And the more that these demons and these people are lying to you, we would rather believe them than believe truth. Jesus said, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. It's a matter of believing truth. Do you believe it? Because if you believe it, you act on it. And it becomes your reality. And you begin to dismantle all those strongholds that are set to, for your destruction. You look at the world. The world is going crazy. There's all kinds of addictions. These are strongholds, spiritual strongholds, but yet we give medical terms to spiritual conditions. This world is out of control. Yes, they had doctors during the times of Christ. Yes. Medical assistance is needed for certain things, but believe me, who has recovered from 4 years of living in a fog because of an illness I had taken on, that God so graciously, in spite of me, raised up others to help run this church while I recovered. And they understand the truth that I'm sharing with you today. Without Christ, there's no hope for anyone. Except bondage. Enslavement. Not the reclamation of your liberty in Jesus Christ. Without Christ, it's allowing the elites of this world who think that they know better than God what you need, what I need. A lot of times, I look around, and I was one of them. I would look at Christians who would have a frown on their face. It's like they were dunked in bad vinegar, and some of that taste got in their mouth. It's like... And yet we want to tell people about Jesus Christ. Part of taking dominion is understanding that you are in control of your emotions. You are in control of your actions. If you submit to God, He will tell you what to do. And you still have a choice to do it or not to do it. But most of us are still deaf to the Holy Spirit. That's not very good. We need to put a smile on our face. Just because our plans aren't going the way we think they should, they're going the way God thinks they should. I'm an expert. I am an expert. Stop getting frustrated with people who act inconsiderately through their speech or through their actions. They're heathen. They don't know any better. I'm not supposed to say that. They're still far away from God. I'm glad you guys can laugh. That's good. We should laugh in the house of God. We should have joy unspeakable in the house of God. Take on this attitude. And my wife's been preaching this to me for years. And I've taken on this attitude. If it's all right with Irene, it's all right with me. But take on the attitude of Christ, who came in flesh to give us an example. When we're starting to get frustrated, let's think about doing it as unto Christ. Everything we do and say should be done as unto Christ. Philippians 2, 5 through 8 says it this way. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in the appearance of man, he humbled himself and became obedient, even to the point of death, the death on the cross. I'll let that sink in a little bit. Time's up. What that is being said is exactly what I just said. You know, I was out during this week, and I'm thinking about what the Holy Spirit has given me for this week, and I'm out there, and I'm squirting the grass that's growing up in the cracks of our driveway. And I could have started complaining and saying, I don't need to be doing this stuff. But I just said, I'm doing it because you're asking me, God, to do it. Because no one else has time to do it. So I'll do it. And I did it. Not because I have to. Because I get to do this for the Lord. What is God trying to get you to do that you have a bad attitude in? I don't want to know. I'm just saying, you know, we have bad tudes at times. I have a big sign in my desk that talks about attitude. And I have it covered up with a whole bunch of notes and stuff so I don't have to look at that. Every once in a while I pull it out. Do a check. Life is not supposed to be so hard. We make it hard because we don't have proper attitudes, because we haven't done the first things that's required. We've done some things. We've received Christ, but then we've not allowed him to take over our lives. And taking over our lives is not a bad thing. I can attest that I've been walking with God for 34, 35 years. And every time I made a decision for Christ, he has improved my position in life. As crazy it may seem at times that he's asked me to do things or commanded me to do things, I still have the right to choose to do it or not. And at this stage of life, I choose to do it because I know it works out for my betterment, not against me. If Christ was so obedient to the will of God, and he was, he asked the Father when he was in Gethsemane to take the cup away from him. That was his flesh. Didn't want to bear up under that. He was in the garden. He was bleeding, sweats of blood, because the pressure of life, of living in sin, was really beginning to weigh down on him. And none of us, I don't care what is going on in our lives, compares to what he went through. I think about it and I get choked up because he died for me. I know what kind of person I was. I know what kind of person I want to be. And I know he's moving me to become all that he has created me to be. And he wants to do the same in your lives to make a difference. If Jesus was that obedient to God, shouldn't we? Shouldn't we? The answer is yes. There's nothing too hard that Jesus is asking us to do. We just don't want to cooperate with him. And James, and this is the key. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We say that quickly. But the key is submit to God. As you're submitting to God, you're resisting the enemy. You're resisting everything. You're putting your flesh on the cross, denying its will to be done. You want to see God's will be done. And the pressures of life come against us to try to dissuade us from being obedient children. Submit. Submit. You have time to submit. God has such a wonderful plan for our lives, but if we do not submit to it, we will not see it. Or as Scripture says, we will see it from afar. Moses saw Jesus' day from afar. Are we going to submit our lives in such a way that it's going to make a difference? We're going to invite people to come to church, to really have fun in church, to really celebrate the goodness of God, to really see him as he is. He is not some religious fanatic. He doesn't give us a bunch of rules and regulations that we have to, we only have two rules. If you understand this, to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and strength, and to love each other. And it will take a lifetime for us to accomplish the second. But I'm going to try. I'm going to try. Mark 1:15 says, the time has come, Jesus says, that the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. It starts with us. It starts with us. Repenting is changing your mind. Agreeing with God and changing your mind. And going in a different direction. You could stay as stubborn as you want to be. Expecting God to move in your life. Only to watch your life slowly spin out of control. If you submit, change your mind about things, and figure out, maybe God's got a better way of doing this. What you see is that descent stops, and as you submit and do the things that he says, he lifts you up. He makes your life better. I'm not saying he's going to solve all your problems today, but he will meet your needs. He will take care of you. He will not forsake us. He will protect us. I can attest to that. Because the love of God is that strong. Being here at Streams is about the kingdom of God and understanding our part in this play. We have to be revolutionaries, radical, in a way that we take this love that we have for God and share it with somebody else. We're not going to win it with bullets. or bullying. We're not going to win it through great suggestions. We're not going to win anything because it's already won. And you have to settle that in your heart. It's won. The war is over. Jesus Christ, the victorious. Everything that's going on in your life, He can fix and give you dominion over that. As we become revolutionaries, He wants to launch us out into the highways and byways to share His love. Because my love stinks. My love falls short. My love is judgmental. My love is limited. But His love is unconditionally and ever expanding. And I want to be found in Him to love like He loves. Not like the world. You're here today to hear the truth. And this truth says that you have a part in this. This is global. This is not just right here in Williamstown or wherever you guys live. It's global. The world doesn't have a chance. It's already lost. It's fighting a battle that it's already lost. The King has sent us to tell the people on this planet that they're conquered. And they need to hear what the terms of surrender is for them. Because what's at stake is dominion. Father, I give them your word. I pray that they have things to think about. Thoughts of reality. What you're trying to do in their lives. How we're adopted as sons and daughters, already forgiven, already made righteous, already are holy because of what you have done. You have adopted us into your kingdom. And you have given us the easiest thing to do is go tell somebody else about your love. I ask, Father, that you bless them. Bless them in their jobs, bless them wherever they're at. And as they begin to take courage to step out, no longer being afraid of what others may think, but being more concerned about what you have said for us to do, where to go, and how to conform to your kingdom. Bless their comings and goings. In Jesus' name, amen.